This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark and Roshan Kanasin. It is 7.36 a.m. Friday, the 20th of November, which means that in about half an hour, we're having the breakfast grill where I'll be speaking with Daryl Fong, Executive Director of Aquawalk Group. So Aquawalk is the parent company of Aquaria KLCC, which was once a great venue for kids. But now with COVID-19 uncertainties, is that still the case? In conjunction with Universal Children's Day today, we're speaking with Daryl Fong to check in how the pandemic has impacted at the aquarium and how they're navigating the challenging operating environment.
Also, in conjunction with Universal Children's Day, we're running a poll on our BFM Twitter account. What will be the biggest impact of the pandemic on this generation's children? Right now, the poll has about 100 votes. You've got 1 hour left to get your voice voted here. 44% say education, 35% say mental well-being, 18% say future employability, and 3% say physical health.
Do continue to let us know what you think on that poll. But in the meantime, we're turning our attention to what's been happening on the international stage. Because earlier this month, the global business community was shocked when the Ant IPO was suspended just days before its dual listing on the Hong Kong and Shanghai stock exchanges. Now, the justification given by Chinese regulators for the move was concerns over systemic risks to the financial system. But observers have pointed out that this move is part of a broader course of action, which has seen Beijing clamping down on anything perceived to be a long-term threat to the China Communist Party.
Yes, it certainly was a very shocking move. I think capital markets did not see that left turn coming. But I guess all this said and done and all the moves we've seen out of China comes to this question here. How far does this view hold sway? And what does this say about President Xi Jinping's strategic direction for the Chinese Communist Party in the years to come?
So to help us understand the machinations at play, we're speaking this morning with Professor Dali Yang, a political scientist at the University of Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Professor Yang. Now, some commentators view Beijing's crackdown on financial technology companies as a power play amid fears of a loss of centralized control. Why is the rise of big fintech seen as a threat to the CCP? And how should we understand the Chinese government's handling of these perceived threats?
Well, I think the most significant fact is the rapid growth of those companies and how they pose a threat to the state-owned banks, the banking system in particular. And of course, Jack Ma in his speech actually essentially heavily criticized the banking regulators for China not having a financial system. And that was very harsh, certainly. So I think it's both in terms of financial risk and also a political challenge that he launched against the financial regulators and the leaders of the country as well.
Now, given the growth of tech giants have been key in China's economic story, at least on the global stage here, how do you think this stricter oversight will play out? Could this end up stifling Chinese innovation and at a time when Beijing is also trying very hard to push a greater reliance on domestic capabilities?
Actually, yes and no. No, because in fact, even Ant Financial, for example, grew out of the nooks and cracks of the system. By bypassing some of the existing regulations, in fact. But at the same time, we do know there is intense competition among, for example, online platforms and in delivery and all sorts of other online services as well. And that will continue as well. So I think actually, on the one hand, you do have rapid growth, a lot of competition, and continuing a lot of talent rushing into those sectors. But at the same time, the regulators been struggling to catch up with the technological development, but especially in the case of fintech.
And Professor, so the CCP has also recently concluded its fifth plenum meeting where it debates its plans for the next 5 years. What do you make of President Xi's long-term vision for the China Communist Party and China, and whether or not he intends to remain in power beyond 2022?
Well, the latter question first is that he doesn't have an obvious successor. So if there is a successor already in the wings, of course, that signals that he is planning to step down. And that's clearly not the case at this moment, especially given that the term limits on his positions have been removed. But at the same time, he's also been very outspoken in terms of talking about national rejuvenation. It's a long-standing theme among Chinese leaders, but it's really been hyped to unprecedented heights on his watch. And he has a lot of ambitions in many ways. On the one hand, of controlling the risks to the system, politically, financially, environmentally, and including recently, for example, with the climate pledge. But at the same time, he wants to see China getting stronger, standing among the really the giants of the world.
On that note, actually, Professor, when we take a look at leadership, and you talked about how there was no obvious successor to President Xi, is there too much concentration risk then in his leadership? What happens if something happens to him?
Well, that's actually really the main challenge with any system. On the one hand, it's highly decisive when there are challenges and so on. With one leader who is so powerful, but at the same time, should something happens to the main leader, usually there is a vacuum of power, and normally it sets off a squabble for power among the potential successors or aspiring successors. And that's actually something that cannot be avoided. For the moment, of course, he's healthy, he's vigorous, and he is using his power strongly on various occasions, including most recently with Jack Ma. So in that sense, clearly, I mean, this is the kind of balances that the Chinese are trying to manage. And so far, and at this very moment, they are emphasizing how this is what China needs at a time when the world is changing so rapidly, when there are so many challenges. Therefore, they are publicly saying that we need a strong leader. And of course, partly because no one dares to challenge the President Xi.
Now, Professor Yang, there's also been a lot of discussion over how President-elect Joe Biden will deal with U.S.-China relations. But conversely, how might China change its approach to a Biden administration after 4 years of managing the Trump administration's much more antagonistic policies?
Well, I think, of course, there is a sense of relief that the unpredictability of President Trump would be gone shortly, and therefore I think that's welcome to the Chinese leadership. But at the same time, they also know that President Biden would be working much harder to work with potential allies and potential allies, and that could pose a challenge to China, especially now that especially in the last year, more countries. In fact, one of the striking things with COVID is how the Chinese approaches in terms of foreign relations has unified countries that were not talking as much in the past a couple of years. And now, in fact, you have the Five Eyes groups and others working together much more strongly. And I think that poses a potential challenge to China. So I think actually in the beginning, President Biden would be looking very carefully, especially there are a lot of domestic challenges. And of course, we do have a surging COVID situation at this very moment. But at the same time, however, down the road, as vaccines become available and so on, so sort of he'll turn his eyes much more into the international situation, keeping the U.S., for example, in the WHO, perhaps playing a role in the WTO and so on. So for that, of course, China would be watching out. And I think at this moment, however, there are also feelers at the lower levels to try to test each other out and so on. They also want to see how vigorous this new president in Washington would be as well. So I think so far it's a wait and see attitude. But you look at what for example, spokesman Zhao Lijian is saying in Beijing, though, China is not modifying its tough approach, whether with America's allies or with the United States itself, given his most recent actually comment on the Five Eyes group.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Professor. That was Professor Dali Yang, a political scientist at the University of Chicago, giving us some insight into the Chinese administration and how it is dealing with I guess, the recent challenges to its perceived power in the form of Jack Ma, as well as, of course, the new president-elect in the U.S. and how that's going to impact U.S.-China relations. And as I think, Professor Yang pointed out, I think it definitely is going to be very much a waiting game to see what the Biden administration comes out with.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very interesting thing to watch, right? Because it was really out of left field when we saw that the scuttling of the anti-IPO, for lack of a better words, there. And he doesn't seem too concerned over growing more companies within China there, because, I mean, Ant did come out of the nooks and crannies of the system. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very interesting to see how President Xi is consolidating his power. No obvious successor is a very indicative sign of that, right? One thing that Professor Yang said there was that having an obvious successor is a sign that he's ready to or preparing to step down or retire.
And of course, we're going to be watching the developments in Beijing very closely and bringing you updates as we get them ourselves. But right now, we have some messages for you. And up next, we're speaking with Dr. Tharani Loganathan, a public health specialist from University Malaya, on the sprouting construction clusters. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.